We're back. Welcome back to a lovely episode of I'll Drink to That.
I'll drink to that.
I just have to say, so this week I have gotten a lot of things delivered to my apartment because, you know, like I said, I just moved, so I'm trying to make my place a cozy and homey. And I have now two little side C tables. I have a TV console. I have a little kitchen cart thing, whatever, that all came that I had to assemble myself. First off, I did it. Okay, so hire me if you ever need furniture put together. But also, my back is killing me. What, is there a reason that we have cars like that? I don't understand. Also, right after I finished making, like, putting together my TV console, I ran to go and photograph the Broadway Sings Mariah Carey concert, which, by the way, is on demand right now. It's such a good concert. $25. Go check it out on their, the link is on their Instagram. But I'm a righty, so I was holding my huge, heavy camera in my right hand, just running around. It was crazy. But it's such a good concert. You should totally see it. Anyway, long story short, my right side of my body is very sore for some reason. Not for some reason, I just told you why. You know what? Anyway, today we have my friend Vincent on the pod. And Vincent and I met doing Broadway Dreams, which is a theatrical Broadway intensive that tours the US and goes to a few other areas around the world. But Vincent and I met there, and we both went to college in the Chicago area, kind of, sort of. Not really. He went to Millikan, but only a few hours away. And we graduated this year, same year, and we're both here in New York City trying to do the thing. And we chat a lot of stuff. Y'all, we talked for 2 hours, and I'm going to try and fit this into a 50-minute podcast. It's going to happen. A lot of things are going to get cut. But a lot of things that we talk about are just us rambling, which I know is the point of the podcast, but we probably could have gotten on for podcast purposes. We're going to move on pretty quickly. Anyway, we talk Into the Woods. We talk Ohio State murders, Audra McDonald, the Queen. We talk about a lot of things. So let's get into it. We're recording.
It's on.
It's on.
We're doing the thing.
We're starting. So I'm here with my friend Vincent. And we both just, like, got to the city. Like, we're brand new. We're brands making new here.
Broadway babies.
Broadway babies. Tell me a little bit. Well, actually, first, what is your drink of choice for today's podcast?
I'm having a chai tea.
And you don't put any milk in it. Do you want milk? Do you want cream?
In a chai? I don't think so.
Okay.
If it was like a breakfast tea,
yes,
I would do a little splash. Yeah. You know what I mean?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I go back and forth with my chai on whether I'm going to like have a cream or not in it. Because I also love a chai latte.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They agree.
Yeah, they agree.
Honk if you agree.
No, I love a chai. So that's your drink of choice. Tell me about yourself. What do you do?
Wow, what a question. my name is Vincent Marcello. I am an artist, multi-hyphenate artist. I think above all else, like, the thing that links the things I do is linking patterns and identifying patterns through unlikely pairs. So I'm always looking for parallels in my work, or...
Vincent's an actor, too.
Yeah, I'm an actor. That's the main thing I do. That's good. Maybe I should have led with that. I think I'm always trying to, like, break traditional boundaries in order to break the rules in a way. But in order to break the rules, you got to know what the rules are.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I just recently saw you in a little production, immersive production, mm-hmm, of Twelfth Night. Twelfth Night is my favorite Shakespeare play.
Mm-hmm. You told me this.
Yeah. I've read it at least 5 times. I have, but I will say the version that I have is an Ophir Shakespeare version.
Yeah.
Which has the real Shakespeare on one side and, like, not on the other side.
Contemporary.
Yeah. Because that's what we were required to read in middle school, actually. We read Twelfth Night in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, really
weird. You know, Ophir is, it costs money now? Like, online?
What? Really?
You have to pay. Mm-hmm.
That's annoying.
They're going to get their coin one way or the other, you know?
That's like how you have to pay for Quizlet now.
Yeah, insane.
The fact that you have to pay for Quizlet.
We graduated just on time.
No, I know. Because I remember using Quizlet for like answers. Mm-hmm. You just like look it up on Google and of course Control like everyone uses. Yeah.
Yeah. Scroll, scroll, scroll.
Everyone uses the same Double questions. Window. Yeah. Yeah.
I love any opportunity to be an enabler. So it's like, right. What? I'm like, yeah, you no, should do it.
I'm
do
not.
It.
Yeah. I'm always, yeah, people will ask me something and I'm like,
yeah.
I'm probably the worst person to ask that question. Because being a Scorpio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we know this.
I will make you do it.
Speaking of Scorpios, it's Ari Greaves' birthday.
Wait, is that today or was it yesterday?
It's today. Today.
I thought she was the 16th.
Is it? I just messaged her.
Oh. Well, happy birthday, Ari Greaves.
Woo, Scorpio season.
Mine's tomorrow, so.
Mm-hmm.
And yours was the 12th.
Yep, yep, yep.
All of the Scorpios.
It's all happening.
We're the better ones.
I can't disagree. I don't disagree. You know?
No, I will enable someone. I mean, it's my favorite thing to do when people ask me something and I'm like, I can give you a logical answer or I can just tell you to do it.
Do you want the truth or do you want what you want to hear?
Do you want the truth or do you want the truth?
Yeah.
No, I'm really bad when it comes to if you ask me my opinion,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get it.
Unbridled, unfiltered.
Raw. It depends on who I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of times, especially if we're close enough, if you ask me for my opinion, I'll be like, no, that shirt looks so ugly. Don't wear that. Yeah.
We don't even have to be close.
Oh, especially if we're not close. Yeah. If I'm never going to see you again, right. I'm going to be like, no, I hate it.
I hate it. Yeah.
Because then fair. I don't have to, what right. else are you going to do?
Be mad.
Find me.
Yeah.
Hunt me down.
Hold a grudge.
Right.
That's the Scorpio thing to do, actually.
Hold a grudge.
Yeah. Hold a grudge.
Yeah.
I love a good grudge.
I do too, honestly.
A nemesis? Have you heard of this? Like people having a nemesis? People are bringing that back.
Really?
Yeah.
Like frenemy kind of thing? Or like
a nemesis. You know, like having an arch enemy.
I didn't know that was coming back.
Yeah.
That's why.
The streets are talking about nemesis. People in the pod. Find one. No.
Find one. Or you gotta find one. Yeah. Or be one. I just wanna be one. That seems like
I feel like I probably am.
Probably. That's fun.
Yeah.
I love the idea of like just knowing that someone out there like wants to ruin my day. Yeah. And I'm like, you can't because you can't find me.
No.
People on like social media who have like 2 followers, right. but they follow like 2,000 people. They DM you and they're like, you suck. And I'm like, so do you.
Oh, remember the Mitch McConnell thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's kind of funny, actually.
I've told so many people that story recently because we were talking about names. Because whenever someone introduces themselves to me, especially at a party or like a social gathering, they'll say, hi, I'm so-and-so. And I'm like, hi, I'm Claire. And we're talking and it's just like the introduction. And I literally have to go, I will not remember your name until we meet each other for a few more times, but I will remember your face. Like I will always remember that I've seen your face before.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, that's okay if you don't remember my name. We might not even ever see each other again. So that's totally fine. And I'm like, I just want to let you know if I'm looking for you. And all of a sudden I'm like, I don't know. They're in the brown suit with the tie and they have a hat on. And the other person comes up to you because they know you. And they're like, she didn't know your name.
You're like, this is a brown suit.
This is right. I'm like, and you went to Cornell University and you graduated with a degree in science. Mm-hmm. I still won't know your name.
It's my friend. Hey, girl.
Right. Right. Well, because like once you get to know someone too.
Yeah.
No one. I don't know. I don't walk up to you and I go, hi, Vincent. I just go, hey.
Hey. Right.
Like you don't use names once you know the person.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's some people that I've been like, I will remember your name because it's either a name that I'm not used to or we spent so long talking about the name on like why it exists or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I have to remember your name now. Cause we
now
just,
it's significant.
We had a whole conversation about it, but I was telling people, I was like, people like to call me Grace. I think my name is Grace for some reason, which is like,
you look like a Grace. I could believe that.
It's a 50-50. Yeah. I've had some people who were like, no, you look like a Claire. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I actually look like a Claire. I don't know what I think I look like, but sometimes I'm like, you don't really look like a Claire.
What was your almost name? Like what your parents almost named you.
I actually have no idea. I've never asked them.
No. Mm-mm. They were set on Claire.
They were pretty set on Claire. There was one time I was in the car with a friend from high school. This was a while ago. And we were heading to Biltmore in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And it's a
classic North Carolina.
Yeah, classic North, you know, Asheville. Yeah. It's like a 2-hour drive. Mm-hmm. And we're chatting, we're talking, and somehow her name got brought up, and her mom was with us in the car, and she was explaining how she was named and did it, you know, the origin. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden my friend goes, where's Claire from? And my mom goes, China. And I was like, Mom, she meant my name.
Right.
And I was not really listening to the actual, like,
yeah,
exam. Like, the, she's like, I don't really know. I think it's, I mean, like, technically Claire is a saint.
Yeah.
It's about all she had. I was like, end. All right. She's just kind of like, I always do.
You just, like, rang.
Well, yeah. But everyone else in the world thinks I should have been named Grace, apparently.
They insist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
What's your middle name?
Marie.
Marie, classic.
Yeah.
Classic Marie.
But it's not Claire Marie. Mm-hmm. My name, I don't have a double name. I'm not that Southern.
No. The little, what do they call those bags with the names on them?
The what?
Those bags in the with the names on them in the South that are really popular.
Oh, the monogram?
Yeah.
CMM.
With the middle is like really
the
big.
Middle, well, the, yeah, the middle name is the biggest.
That's it. They have a name for them, right?
A monogram.
That was something else.
A monogram.
Yeah.
And
that's
people
my thing. I don't know what
things
are called.
People wear it as like the necklace.
Yeah.
It was the pearls. The pearls were like the big thing.
That's the name of your memoir. It was the pearls.
It was the pearls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking about being a prep.
It was the pearls.
Going from preppy. I really wasn't preppy.
It's interesting. I feel like generationally, the aesthetics were like a consequence of whatever you did.
Right.
But now I feel like people adopt aesthetics that they don't necessarily align with their lifestyle.
Like I tried really hard to be a preppy person, especially in middle school, because that was, you know, you spend 5 years in elementary school and you get to really know those people, and then all of a sudden in sixth grade you only have 3 years to get to know these people that you know half of the school, but there's another half of people who didn't go to your elementary school, but like they were on that side of the line. Like the way they do the lines and everything for districts is so weird to me.
Oh, there's a reason.
I know there's a reason.
Racism.
Right. Correct.
You can say that on the pod.
But and so you get to middle school and all of a sudden you have like lockers and you have people have their cliques, and it's like the first time really that you are, because in elementary school no one cares.
Yeah.
It's like you can walk up to some random kid and be like, you want to play tag? And they're like, yeah.
Yes.
And you just run around and
there
like
no rules.
Right. There are no rules. And then you get to middle school and everyone thinks they're like 20 when they're not, because you're 12.
What a time.
Oh, I was, this has nothing to do with that, but that's the point of this podcast. I was I always think, and I think it's so interesting, that as a child, as a kid, you want to be so grown up. And then you finally get to the point of like where we are now, where we're like in the middle ground of like being grown up, but we're still like kind of not, like we're still figuring things out.
Right.
And then you get to be like 27, 28, almost 30. And all of a sudden it's like all you wish is to be a kid again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why is that so weird to me? Like that is the weirdest thing to me, that kids these days, like there are 13-year-olds that are wearing eyeliner.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't wear makeup until I was in eighth grade, I guess. So like 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like randomly played with makeup, but like there are 13-year-olds who look 18.
Full beat.
Because they walk, they come into school with a full beat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who are you impressing? I don't understand. Anyway, that's what I've been getting from like Into the Woods too. Because I've been listening to Into the Woods so much and I've seen it so many times recently.
Yeah.
That I'm like, it's so weird because we are still in the era of Jack and Little Red. And we're slowly moving into Cinderella. Reynolds was like,
I guess Cinderella and Rapunzel, if we need a pair.
Yeah,
those
the
two
princesses.
Are very, there's a longing.
Yeah.
You know?
But Jack and Little Red, especially Little Red for me, it's like she wants to know everything and then she thinks she knows everything. And then you get to the point where you have to use that information and knowledge and you're like, I'm missing something. What do I not know? And it's like literally everything. And then the witch, she's like, there's a lot going on in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Jack wanting to go up to the beanstalk and everything, him saying like there's giants in the sky. And also the whole second verse of No Things Now. with the, when he said, come in mm-hmm. with a sickening grin. I still don't know the words to that song. It's like the one section that I know.
I know what was installed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just so interesting to me because, like, you can listen to it, like, literally of mm-hmm. her being eaten by this wolf.
Right.
But I'm also like, this wolf is an adult who is talking to a child and explaining to them the wonders of the world. Mm-hmm. And that is that slippery slope that she goes down because she had no idea what any slope. Of this is.
Yeah. That's a fun way to see that. Yeah, I can see that. I always, the original production, like the OG production, mm-hmm. like it's a lot of sexual innuendo between Jack, not Jack, between Little Red and the wolf.
And the wolf, yeah.
Stuff like that always reads to me, regardless of whatever production
right,
I'm watching.
Yeah. I've seen that production. I've watched the filmed thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've listened to the album. And I just, like, didn't get into it, really. And then I watched, I think it's just because I wasn't watching the production live, mm-hmm. which is so different to just listening to it or yeah. like watching it on TV. Because mm-hmm. I'm also not someone who likes to watch things on screen.
Yeah.
Like if I watch a movie, I'm going to watch it once.
Controversial. I have to like really.
I have not seen it.
I like that.
It's just Act One, though, isn't it?
No, it's the whole thing.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
People were telling me that the movie only did Act One.
That's a lie.
In I know it was Junior is just Act One because it's yeah. like everything finishes this happy ending.
The end, yeah.
yeah. Which is what I love when I go and mm-hmm. see the show because mm-hmm. you're in intermission and everyone's walking around. And
they're like, is it over? No, because when I saw the movie, I had never seen Into the Woods before. And I dragged my stepmother and my dad, who hate musicals, you know, infamously. I didn't even know it was a musical. I just knew Meryl Streep was in it, so I had to be in attendance.
Right, you had to be there.
Yeah, we got in there. There was a girl who knew the whole show. She was singing the entire time.
Of course.
So they love that, obviously. And it got to the end of the first act, and my stepmom literally got up. She's like, well, glad that's over. And it kept going. Like, there were no credits. And she was like, is it going to end? And so we had to stay, like, the rest of the movie.
That's what falsettos felt like to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know falsettos is two acts, but it also was one act and then a one act, yep. and they mashed it together. And so when I went to go see the live recording thing of it, I was like, is there going to be an intermission? Like how Hamilton has a 10-minute mm-hmm. in the movie mm-hmm. filmed version. They've given you an intermission. They don't do that with falsettos. And falsettos is just as long as Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And it's heavier.
Yeah.
And I was like, the fact that you didn't give a 10-minute, a 5-minute break.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, intense. All right, here we go. Into Act Two, the saddest act of them all.
Buckle down.
Yeah. Mm. No, I do love going to see Into the Woods and, like, walking around. And it's always these older,
mm-hmm.
like, parents with kids who are at least in middle school because they've done Into the Woods Junior.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's grandparents who had seen the show or knew the show before but, like, hadn't. More likely, they saw their grandchild in a production of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, oh, we should go see it because it's Stephen Sondheim. Because, of course, like, the grandparents are going to know who that is.
Yeah.
And then you're standing there and you're sitting and you're listening. And they're like, did you like it? Did you really like it? And then you have, like, the older middle child who's like, there's another act. And the grandparents right. are like, no, there's not. It would just end it. And it's like, no, it's literally intermission. Yeah. You have to stay.
It says it right there in the playbill.
It says it in the playbill. I think they have signs now mm-hmm. on the doors. It's literally like, come back for Act Two. Right. So people don't leave the theater, which I think is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever second act, what is it called? When you like see the second act, just like walk in.
You'd only see the second act?
Yeah, for free.
No.
You've heard of this?
No.
Where people go to Broadway shows, they like wait till the second act starts. Like they wait till intermission mm-hmm. and doors are open so you can just walk in. And see the second act.
It's like cheating the system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That'd be good if, because I know a lot of people who also haven't seen Act 2 of Wicked.
Yeah.
They leave after Defying Gravity because their parents think it's over.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be good instead of having to watch the whole entire thing.
I don't know the science of how that works, but like.
Because you have ushers. That's the other confusing thing is like you just, I guess, have to pretend that you're going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But then where are you going to sit?
You got to find a seat. I don't know.
So
I know the science of this. I just know people do it. Matthew Scott did it on the record.
Did he really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So the night before this podcast was recorded, I went to go see Ohio State Murders. Our friend Abigail Stevenson is in the show, who we both also met through Bobby Dreams. And Abigail is insanely talented. I learned she played violin about, you know, a few minutes into the show, if you've seen the show. But this show is absolutely beautiful. They open this weekend. It stars the one, the only, the queen, Audra McDonald. It's such, like, everyone should go see it. It's a wonderful show. It's basically, Audra does not leave the stage. She is incredible in this show. The voice work is amazing. Like, we talk all about it. We both saw it on separate days, but we saw it pretty close to each other, so we were able to chat about it. Anyway, they open this weekend. Go see it. Go see the show. Yeah. Okay, anyway. Well, this is what I was talking about with Abigail last night. Yeah, no, we were talking. She asked me, and she was like, she asked me if I liked the show. She was like, genuinely, did you like the show? And I was like, I actually loved it. And I don't usually like plays. Mm-hmm. Like, usually for my brain, I have to have musicals. I have to have the spectacle of something.
Yeah.
And usually musicals will give that for, like, you know, because it's music. And I was like, no, I really enjoyed this play, because rarely in a play do I ever forget what time it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's such a good way to put it.
Like, rarely am I ever, I didn't, the only time I looked at my watch was because I got a notification. Mm-hmm. But if I get a notification while I'm in a theater, it's because someone that I have who is not on my, like, do not disturb list is texting me. So I'm like, all right, so now I have to check it. It was like my mom. So, but that was the only time I checked my watch, and it wasn't even to check the time. I still didn't even know what time it was when I checked that. I was just seeing if it was like emergency, you know, one of those kinds of things. And I was watching an Ohio, we're talking about Ohio State Murders for anyone who's listening, which is a really good play, Audra McDonald.
Yeah, maybe we should have led with that.
Yeah, but, and it's just like, it's really just like one huge monologue.
Yeah.
That's the whole, like, the whole Audra 75 minutes, she doesn't leave the stage, she's talking the whole time. Also, her, the voice that she does.
Oh yeah, get into the voice work.
Well, okay, is she, she's not the playwright, is she?
It's like an extension of the playwright.
Okay, because she's not, because, so when you walk into the, like, theater, an alter and ego. When you leave, like, most plays or even musicals, there's music playing, there's something, there's a pre-show playing.
Yeah.
And the pre-show for this show is an interview with the writer. And it's just
Adrian Kennedy.
Yeah, with Adrian Kennedy, and it's just playing on a loop of, you know, of why she wrote the play and what, and, you know, like, where she grew up and just, like, all of the history and facts about her. And so you sit there, and it's very interesting because usually I zone out. Like, usually I'm, like, on my phone, and it got to the point where I couldn't. I had to listen to what she was saying.
Right.
And then Audra came out, and I was like, she's using, first off, she's not speaking on her chest or really on her cords very much because she has to talk for so long. So she talks in almost this heady mix, which is weird because talking vocals and singing vocals are two completely different and pretty much opposite things. If you think, like, if you've ever worked with voice and vocal music stuff. This is just a disclaimer. I don't think I really need to make this disclaimer, but I'm going to. Neither me or Vincent are voice specialists. When I said talking on your voice, I meant not what I am doing currently. I am talking on my core, what I call on my chords. You can hear the rasp. You can hear it. It's really annoying. Some people don't like it. I honestly don't like it. I try to talk a little bit higher than normal just so you don't hear me talking like this, because that's really annoying. That's what I mean. But when you go and see this show, Audra has this very floaty quality. She kind of talks almost like this, as if she's talking up here in her upper register. And it's a very interesting way of talking. That's my best impression of what Audra does. It's actually very Julia Child. If you've ever watched any Julia Child or Julie and Julia, is that the movie? She kind of has this floaty voice that she talks up here. Anyway, no more of me trying to do that voice. But the way that she is probably able to keep her voice so healthy, because she talks so high in her register.
Right.
So she's not putting any weight until the very end of the show, which also is so effective when she's like, she gets mad at the end. And you're like, oh. Because in my brain, I was like, this isn't how Audra talks.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't the watch
dialect,
that.
There's like a, there's a dialect happening.
There's a little bit of a dialect happening. Because the character grew up in Cleveland.
Yep.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Ohio.
Yeah. It's like a Midwestern
yeah.
kind of, but you can't really tell. It's very
also a bit period too.
It's like a little period. Like a little well, because it's in 50, it's in the 40s, isn't it? 40s, 50s?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so, right?
I honestly don't remember. And I feel like it's around the time of integration, which would be the 60s.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, because Abigail's dress is very 50s. Yeah. It's similar to like a poodle skirt kind right. of type. Yeah.
I feel like 50s is right.
Yeah. But we were talking and she was like, did you believe what was happening? And I was like, I can honestly tell you yes, because I every now and then I had to remind myself that that was Audra McDonald.
Right.
And I had to remind myself that I was like, I was so in it. And then she would say something. You know when you like almost autopilot
right.
when watching a show, but like right. you're still there.
Yeah.
And then they say something and all of a sudden your brain goes, mm-hmm. what?
Right.
And then you have to remember. And then you're like, oh, wait, I'm in a theater.
Yeah,
like it's
so
not
well
that I'm. It's not
that
I'm in the world because I know that I'm not in the world. But it's also not like watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very weird experience.
Because she really carried us moment to moment to moment.
Yeah,
you know, and those gaps in between is when you'd be like, oh wait, this is a show. Like,
well, it's the gaps in between, and it's the going back and forth between when she's telling the story and when she's in the story.
Yes, that.
Like that. Those switches mm-hmm. were so good.
Also, excellent use of props. I'm thinking about the scarf baby.
The scarf
moment.
Babies. Yes.
I was like, I'm buying it. I'm buying it. I'm fully purchasing my ticket.
Well, and the other thing is, so many people didn't notice the scarf was gone.
I know.
At the first one.
I didn't. I was like, wait a minute.
The only reason I noticed it, I couldn't actually see it.
Yeah.
What I saw was, so the scarf is on like a fishing wire
yeah.
kind of string, and it gets pulled. I didn't notice it was gone because there was a head in my, mm-hmm. like, I couldn't see it, but yeah. I watched it fly
mm-hmm.
up into the wing,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, so then I had to, like, kind of, like, sit up and be like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But, and then it happens again,
mm-hmm.
a second time. My thing was, I was so enamored by the jacket. The jacket doesn't move. For a good 30 minutes. She walks on stage.
Oh, Audra's jacket.
Audra's
yeah.
jacket.
And when she puts it down, yeah.
She walks on stage, does the thing. It's snowing the whole entire time.
Yeah. The snow, I kept thinking, like, is it digital? Is it digital and practical at the same time?
I think it's both.
Yeah, I think it's both.
Because sometimes it looked like real, like the real, yeah. like, snow.
It's like layers. It's like
and then sometimes I was like, because the real snow fell straight.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then the snow would go sideways.
Yeah.
And I was like, but there's nothing to make it go sideways. So mm-hmm. that looks like a screen.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then it snows at the end, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's snowing in the background the whole time.
It's snowing in the background the whole time. People and my thing was, there's no way that that is snowing the whole entire time. Because
right.
that is a lot that's just piling
yeah.
up back there.
Yeah, I kept thinking about that. I was like, we can't see it.
Right, we can't yeah. see it. So that's what I was thinking about. But
I also kept waiting for it closes at the beginning. Those like,
oh, the walls.
The walls. I kept waiting for it to open back up again. And it never happens.
Mm. The whole top of that show is like, it's like 5 minutes of silence, basically.
Yeah, as it should be.
Yeah.
Because I feel like once you step into that theater, you have to be silent and just like, present and listening.
Yeah.
The people next to me when I saw it were so obnoxious. They literally said out loud, I hope, like, why is she talking? Like, that's so annoying. Referring to the podcast, like interview that's happening. And I was like, you are aware. Like,
you
that's
are
the whole
aware.
Show.
That's
like,
the whole point of the.
And they talked the whole time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then the old man in the same row fell asleep and snored.
No, no, no.
Yeah. That's what I was like. Afterward, I'm like, I don't know if y'all were aware on stage that was happening in the audience, but
were they?
I don't. She said they weren't.
Oh. Well, we were talking about. We were talking about that, and I was like, no, all of it really pretty like worked
mm-hmm.
for me for the most part.
Yeah.
It all for the most part worked for me, and I was like, and I really don't like going to see plays,
yeah.
even though those are what I, as an artist, get fed more with.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I go
you
and see a play,
towards.
I get more from it as like an actor, but also as a human being.
Yeah.
I just don't love seeing a play. It's mm-hmm. just not something that I do or like usually choose to do. I enjoy, like if I'm going to talk about like writing that I actually do love, which I've kind of already said before, but it's writing that can be taken in so many different directions. It mm-hmm. just depends on where you are in the day, how you've been feeling that week. Mm-hmm. It, you can read it differently every single time.
Yeah.
Like, this is a really bad, but, like, it works example is, mm-hmm. like, the gasp at the end of Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
That gasp could mean anything. And Philippa Sue couldn't even tell people what it yeah. meant because she was like, it was different every day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it was because I knew I had a chicken sandwich off stage.
Yeah.
And I was, like, yeah. excited to go see that. Mm-hmm. And some of it was, like, you know, it's Eliza seeing Hamilton. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, like, one of those kinds of things. It's, like, and I think Into the Woods is very similar to that because right. Into the Woods is very, like, clean cut of what mm-hmm. it is.
Well, I feel like it's what you're saying.
But you can
it's
take
like you
things
take it anywhere.
Anyway. Just like you and me mm-hmm. having different ideas of Little Red and the Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole pairing.
Yeah. Also, that's a good director too, you know?
Yeah.
Some directors like want to leave it ambiguous.
Open-ended.
And some directors are like, it has to be this. Like they have to think this way.
That's the other thing I really like about this production of Into the Woods.
Because mm-hmm.
there's nothing on stage.
Yeah.
It is
yeah.
for a show that it is so in depth mm-hmm. as Into the Woods.
Yeah.
For them to do a concert version where there's quite literally no set whatsoever, except now they have like a vine or two and like trees and that's it. Right. And you have the orchestra right behind you. I'm like, if you can get me into the world of mm-hmm. what this show is with just that and all you have are costumes basically, that's incredible
mm-hmm.
to me. Like, I would see a Sweeney Todd like that.
Really stripped.
Really stripped down. Like, Sondheim, I think sometimes people make it really too much. They go really far into it.
Because there's so many options. I think people want to take advantage. It's easy to want to take advantage of as much of it as possible.
Like, that's how I was thinking about, like, the Texas State.
Ooh, let's talk about it. Controversial.
I mean, I'm really
it's very Nancy.
It's
from the clips. To be fair, I don't think either of us has seen the production.
No, we've
in
not
full.
Seen the production in
it
full.
Looks
but we've
brilliant
seen bits and
in a
pieces
way.
Of it. The choreography is gorgeous. I just don't think of Into Woods
as a dance show.
A dance show.
Yeah.
Give me my show where I don't have to dance.
Not,
I am not a dancer.
As
this
two
is mine.
Movers. Yeah.
It's
like.
But.
What can we have? You know.
Right.
Let us have.
Well,
things.
And the costumes are very. Interesting
yeah,
too.
It's all white.
It's all white. So it makes me wonder also because we've not seen clips of the end. Do they come on stage in color at the end? Because they now know more things than they did. They've all learned from their mistakes. They've all learned and they're still wishing.
Like after the baker's song about like, with the dad after that.
Like literally at the end.
No more. That's what it's
called.
I don't know. I mean that would be a choice.
Like,
color.
I would put them in color if we've been mm-hmm. seeing them in black and white this whole entire time.
Also, one thing about Texas State, they're going to put those videos on YouTube.
They are.
I don't know how they do that, but I'm obsessed with it. I've been obsessed
with it. Oh,
I've
seen so many Wild Parties, Anything Goes, some Legally Blondes. Yeah.
They're Texas. Shout out to Texas State.
Shout out to
Go
Texas
Bobcats.
State. Go Bobcats.
Yeah.
We have a lot of friends who are Bobcats. Actually, I texted Tyler Wesley, who's playing mm-hmm. Jack,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I need a video.
Yeah.
I
Macy's
need a video.
In it too.
What is Macy?
So I think she's in the ensemble.
Oh. Into the Woods is one of those shows where I solely am like, this is an ensemble show because if you don't have one of these people, it doesn't make sense.
Schools love that show too because it's like, well, you could be a tree. You could be.
Literally. You can be the vine.
You could be the mouse that turns into a horse, you know?
You're the vine. Mm-hmm. Someone get into a harp costume.
You're the heel of the shoe.
Where's the egg?
Yeah. You're
the
chicken.
Butt
of the cow.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my gosh, the two-person cow.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, let's talk about the Milky White puppet.
Milky White.
Kennedy.
I love the Milky White in this production on Broadway.
I really like the idea of it. I like the whole... I have a really big thing on... I don't like when people are dressing up as animals.
In general.
Like, I just... Like, the West End Legally Blonde, where they're Bruiser...
Oh, my God.
...was a person.
That is an insane choice. The
it's
human
a choice. It
Bruiser.
Is a choice.
And, like, they really barked on stage. Like,
I know.
That's it. That's their track. That's insane. It's almost...
I don't like
this
it.
This word is overused, but camp.
No, like, it is.
Okay.
I don't like it, though.
I don't like it either. It creeps me out.
Like, I'd rather it be the way they did it with Kennedy. Kennedy's not really supposed to be there. You're not really supposed to know that Kennedy's there.
Right. Doing well, a puppet. They have a there's interviews where they talk about, like, having a relationship with the other actors, like, making, and you see it in the production too, like,
you see it a little bit, but it's more interact. But like Kennedy,
I think at some point they forget one of the puppet props because he goes missing or something, or dies.
Well, I mean, Milky White dies,
and then, like, don't they, like, have to, like, drop it and they go off stage or something?
Well, when Milky White dies, it's like a whole dramatic scene, and Kennedy does it so hilariously. The cow dies and Kennedy has to, like, cough, like, his life depends on it.
Yeah.
And then you literally watch him just drop the puppet, and then he runs off stage because because the whole cast looks at him and he's like, right, and he runs off stage, and then Milky White's dead and da da da, and they're like, we brought you a cow, and the witch is like, this cow does not look white as milk. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, we thought you would prefer a live cow. And then she was like, yeah, of course I would prefer a live cow. And they're like, well, the other one's dead. She's like, well, bring it to me and I'll bring it back to life.
I think it's so funny that they, like, just found another cow.
No, I know, right? Like,
but it didn't matter. So it didn't matter.
It's, like, covered in flour.
Yeah.
But, and so she, you know, she brings it back, and whoever's playing the witch is, like, doing her magic, and then she just stops automatically and she goes, hey. And Kennedy runs on stage and is, like, gets down on the ground and is, like, ready to bring this cow back to life.
Exactly.
Which I think is the funniest thing.
I love it.
But also, no one really acknowledges Kennedy. Only a few times, but most of the time, even still, Kennedy is actually watching Milky White.
Right, right.
Like, Kennedy's really not supposed to be. But what I do love is that Kennedy's not in all black.
Yeah. Like, they have their own costume.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, I also saw Kennedy's understudy. Or I guess I saw Milky White's understudy, and they're also really good.
Mm-hmm.
What's also crazy is Kennedy didn't do any puppetry before this. Kennedy learned how to do puppets.
Musical theater actor
for the show. I would love to get Kennedy on the podcast. Kennedy, if you're listening,
you can do it. I think
I probably could.
What's your ideal project for Broadway? What's your star vehicle?
I mean, I really want to work on a new something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anything new.
Mm-hmm.
That's not movie. Because I probably won't watch the movie. I mean, I will, but, like,
I'm thinking for Broadway. Like, they're making a Broadway show for you. What does that look like?
Like, story-wise?
In general. The whole thing. Take me on that journey.
I don't know. I know I would want it to be a contemporary something or another.
Mm-hmm.
Something that gives the whole effect to the audience as a Sondheim musical would be. It wouldn't be Sondheim, obviously, because that wouldn't be new.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, when you walk out of it at the woods, you're like, oh, there's so much to digest.
Mm-hmm.
I want a show where it's kind of a lot to digest, but you also understand what's happening when you leave.
So you want them to feel satisfied? I think what's good about Into the Woods,
kind of like a mixture, because, like, you're satisfied, but there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered for Into the Woods.
Yes, and I feel like it's also very tourist friendly, where it's like, if you just know the stories of Cinderella and Jack and the Beanstalk, these, like, fairy tale stories, you can enjoy it and leave satisfied and not being like, what was that? Like, that's not the story I know.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a range of experiences. Do you want?
I mean, I would love. Yeah. Because I want a show where everyone can relate to it, but no one's relation is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what
choose
would be.
Choose your own adventure.
Yeah. That's what would be really fun to me.
What I'm digesting you? It.
What about you?
What about me? I feel like it's an intimate cast. It's not a large cast. Like a big Broadway musical. I don't know if it's a play or a musical. I feel like the happy medium would be, like, a play with music. Like, maybe there's, like, singing in it, music in it, but it's not, like...
Like a band's visit kind of type thing?
Yeah, kind of like
Even though that was technically a musical, but it was a play with music.
Right. I would love it to be, like, an adaptation of something. I'm, like, kind of obsessed with adaptation. Like a Chekhov or like adaptation, like there's a Stupid Fucking Bird, something that feels like really visceral and like raw in a way that's just like, it's just storytelling and it's just people having conversations on stage that feel really tenacious, deeply about relationships. I would love it to break traditional boundaries, like Into the Woods, Once on This Island is a dream show of mine. Timon is a dream role of mine. Like, it still works.
Wait, who would you want to be?
Timon.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's the same story, you know?
I would love that.
Like, Daniel can be Daniel or Danielle. Like, it doesn't matter, you
know? That's very true.
I think I would prefer to be queer. I feel like that's another layer. It adds a layer to it, too.
But then I get the whole conversation of, like, oh, it's gender bent casting, but you don't gender bend these roles, but you gender bend this one. And I'm like, yeah, but you have to look at what company is, like, the example. It's like, well, but you can't gender bend every single role because then there's no difference. Then it's the same story.
Or it's a different story. And I feel like with company, it is a different story than what was originally intended. And it's okay. I feel like they didn't completely cross that bridge.
Well, the thing that I did like about the fact that Bobby is female identifying is because, granted, I didn't know company before I went in. That was a really big spoon to swallow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Walking into company, not literally never having heard it.
Yeah.
Had no idea what it was about. But I did like the idea that Bobby was female identifying just because every female identifying person that I've spoken to who is of my age and a little bit older and even in their 30s, as you know, 30s, 40s as Bobby is, we've all gotten that.
I would have loved
to, I mean, I guess guys do too, or male identifying folks do as well. I mean, anyone does. But the society is always like, so when are you getting married? When do you have kids?
Right.
It's like, I don't know.
It's also kind of a period show.
It is.
Like, they didn't necessarily set it in the 70s. Like, the time is kind of ambiguous. But
it's very weird. It was a very weird production. It was giving, like, Alice in Wonderland. Like, there's no real time.
They also cut a bunch of stuff, like, because of the sake of the interpretation. Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Originally, like, there's a scene that Bobby has with the couple who's getting a divorce. And the husband asks Bobby if he's ever considered dating men. And, like, there's, like, a moment where Bobby's supposed to question his sexuality because he hasn't settled down yet. Like, he's in his late 30s. And
I guess that would change the whole not getting married section with Matt.
Also, yeah, and with Amy, like, the proposal of, like, this straight man asking this straight woman, well, let's get married. Like, we both feel, like, completely, wholly afraid of getting married and of monogamy. Like, let's just do it. Why don't we get married? Like, that's a completely different context of this straight woman asking this gay man, like, well, let's get married. And it's like, it's like a joke. It's not taken nearly as seriously.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a different show, and that's okay. But I feel like maybe rewrites would have helped push this idea a little further along than just, like, quote unquote, flipping the gender.
There were just a lot of loose ends.
Right.
With the show. Like, it was
And with the Patti LuPone, like, there's no, like, in the original, Patti LuPone's character asked Bobby if they want to have sex, you know? It's not like,
oh, well, and I guess she doesn't do that with the
and it's weird. I'm like, why not? Like,
this song, I'll Drink to That, which is literally what this podcast is called from, which is ironic because I don't know company, did not make sense to me at all. I was like, why are we, what? And I also was like, this is a long song for people just to be standing in the background not doing anything. Because everyone freezes, pretty much, I think, if I remember correctly. Everyone just freezes in that production. And I'm like, but what are you drinking to? No one answered that question. I mean, you can answer it out loud, but don't yell at me in my DMs. I have recently gone and reread the lyrics and listened to the song again and watched Patti perform it. And I kind of get the idea of drinking and cheersing to these mundane tasks, everyday tasks. That's not the deepest thing that I could ever say about that, you know, obviously. I'm just now getting in my Sondheim phase. I'm still in my Into the Woods era. So, you know, Company will come probably next because I've actually seen a production of Company. I've not seen any other version of Sondheim. I will probably go see this Sweeney Todd revival on Broadway when it comes. But anyway, I'm just going to say that. If anyone wants to come on and just chat Sondheim, though, and school me in Sondheim and give me all of your thoughts, I'm totally down. I love listening to people talk about Sondheim. It's one of my favorite things.
Also, I felt the stage felt crowded during that moment to me.
It did. I wish people left. I wish everyone got off stage so it was just Bobby and...
And as it should be.
Yeah. The show was good. And I'm sure... I was actually talking to someone who I really want to get on the podcast just to literally just talk about Sondheim, mm-hmm. which I need to do a lot more research on Sondheim before I get her on. But we were talking and we had many a drink. And we were talking about... I was like, I loved... Into the Woods. Mm-hmm. I think at that point I had already seen. And I was like, it's really good. Like, it's a really good production. I get it. Do you know everything that I've said already?
Yeah.
And I was like, I saw Company and I didn't quite get it. It was not my favorite. And she was talking, she started explaining Company to me, actually. And I was like, there was just something about it that I didn't like and I didn't understand. It's not that I didn't like it, like I liked the show, but I also didn't, it's not something I would go and see again kind of type thing. Whereas like obviously with Into the Woods, I've seen it literally so many more times. I was only gonna go see it once and I'm about to go back again. Right. But she was explaining to me like, well, Bobby and da da da, and I was like, you also have to remember I'm 22 mm-hmm. seeing the show. I'm sure if I saw it, if I was 35 and 40 and I wasn't married, I would have a completely, probably visceral reaction to the show itself. But I was like, I'm too young for Company. I'm too young to like, I understand enough of it to understand the show. But, like, internally, mm-hmm. as a character of myself and as a human, I don't think I understand this storyline, like, at all. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was explaining to her. But she got real deep. Like, really, like... philosopher on me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, interesting. But I've yet to go back and like listen with those, with what she had said in it.
I think it's a really great, it's one of my favorites, if not probably my favorite Sondheim's Company. And that Marion Elliott production is definitely in conversation with every other production that came before it. So if you walked into that show without that context, I feel like it's a lot harder to digest.
Yeah. Because there's a lot that goes behind with it works probably with what previous knowledge that I didn't have.
Also didn't love the way they did the trio. Like, it was like hyper masculinized I cannot talk, in a way that was almost unnecessary.
You Can Drive a Person Crazy, that one.
Yeah, You Can Drive a Person Crazy. And crazy. They sing this really, it's like, it's this cute doo-wop kind of number. And because Bobby doesn't take them seriously.
Right.
And that's the whole joke. But in this production, I keep ranting on this production, but it's like Bobby felt like she didn't take anyone seriously, like even her friends. So it didn't feel different enough for these relationships she had with these three guys, you know? And it almost like took away from the context of that relationship, you know? Mm-hmm. It didn't feel any different.
I also didn't like A Couple Hundred People. Is that with all those letters? Another 100 people?
Yeah, it was weird.
Mm. Well, my only issue with that was I was like, you spelled Company for like 2 seconds. And then all of a sudden it was just a weird like alphabet soup of light up letters.
Yeah.
And not once again do you spell Company. I don't even care what it's about. If you have letters on stage, also the scenes, spell like, in out between something.
Doesn't happen normally. Like, it's not like cut up like that.
Oh, really?
No.
That was new?
Yeah. They like intercut the scenes between that song. Like, that does not happen normally.
That song felt like it was an hour.
Yeah. It was weird. I didn't like that part.
See, and I was telling people that. I was like, I didn't really like this production. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't have any other.
Also, that role was usually played by a person of color. And since they like, quote unquote, diversified. This one, like, it was like very like, you know, like, we're going to try our best not to have a bunch of white people. Mm-hmm. Bobby's whiteness is a part of the story originally. Like, he only dates one person of color. Like, that's like the whole gag. Like, that's in the script.
I will say the one thing that I thought was really cool was the time-lapse sequence.
Oh, I loved the time-lapse sequence. That was so cool.
That was so smart.
Yeah, because normally that's like a whole ballet. Like, it's like a dream ballet kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
I loved it. That was my favorite part of the whole entire thing.
Yeah, that's
because
that
of the layering
great.
Of it. Yeah. The way they did it and the layering
and
of
everything.
It.
Ugh. And like the fact that it was her friends, like I love yeah. that. That was really, really good.
That was great.
Yeah.
And you also but also like this is like a company podcast now.
I know. it's fitting. It's the title.
Jennifer Simard, is that mm-hmm. her name?
Mm-hmm.
Genius.
Genius.
I love her.
Yeah. She's I think she got a Tony nom.
Yeah,
right?
She did.
Yeah.
Didn't she win the Tony? No.
Maybe. I don't know.
I feel like she won the Tony. I don't remember that year. That
it was
year
kind
was
of a weird,
weird
year. Isn't that the same year that Aaron won? He was the only one nominated.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah, I think so. But it was, she's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, that, she was hilarious.
Like, that show, like, is a really good script. Like, I would watch that show as a play.
Mm-mm.
It's a great script.
And I feel like I bought the Into the Woods script forever ago. When I say forever ago, I mean like when I first got here.
Yeah.
Like that's how long I've had it. I've not opened it.
It feels like that way, you know, forever ago.
Forever ago.
Yeah.
2 months ago. But I haven't opened it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But my plan is to like go through and like digest it, like try to figure out my version of the show.
Yeah.
Which worries me because I also feel like at some point I'm going to want to direct it and I'm going to like weirdly be living vicariously through my actors, which is not what I want to do. It's never what I've ever wanted to do. But I feel
one
like if
woman
you
show
yeah but I feel like if you get so if you get like really into so the like I think that's one of the things the reasons why I haven't done it yet because I don't want to get so obsessed with a show.
Yeah,
girl, please, we all know that you're obsessed with a show. Don't even try that. Don't even try it. Okay, we've been talking for 2 hours. My last question.
Me.
Not that there were really any questions happening. I mean, there were, but not really. When you are making a cocktail or coffee or drink, what is your go-to cocktail drink of choice? Like when you're making something, or like what? Like if someone was like, "What is Vincent's signature drink?"
Oh, my signature drink. I'm pretty boring when it comes to cocktails. I've only begun exploring the options. Lately, I've been into sidecars.
I don't know what that is.
I don't really know what it is either. It was recommended to me. I don't. Is that the?
Oh, you got one. You got one when we were together.
And I didn't really like it at that place.
No. Well, then maybe that's not your drink.
Yeah. To be honest.
Are you like a dark liquor? Are you a what are you? Liquor, wine,
I just
beer?
Love a wine. Like a white wine, a Chardonnay.
You're a white wine guy.
Simple and easy. Yeah. It gets me there.
Are you a dry wine or a sweet wine?
In the middle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I always order a Cab Sauv if I'm going to get a wine.
I like a Chardonnay. It's best
Chardonnay's
of both
good. Nice buttery.
I don't like a Riesling. Like, that's too sweet.
No. Can't do a Riesling.
Mm-mm.
A butter wine is nice sometimes.
With like a meat, a sweetened meat. You know what I mean?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But usually I get a Cab Sauv if I'm going to order wine.
Also,
people
love a beer. I can't lie.
I do like a beer too. That's it.
We've sipped.
We spilled. We dished it out. We drank to it.
We are drinking to it.
We are drinking to it. I was gonna say yeah. This is. I have to cut this down to like 50 minutes. And guess what? I did. Oh, Ben Platt. I just clicked on something. What did I just? Anyway, I did it. I got this podcast down to an hour. Yay me. Make sure you follow Vincent and us. All of that stuff will be linked in the description below. I am so behind on transcriptions. Honestly, I know that we all really want a transcription. I don't have the money to pay for a transcription service, and I don't have the time to transcribe these. So I'm unsure if the transcriptions are going to continue. I really want them to work. I would love it if people would check out our Patreon page because that would help pay for some of these transcriptions. But y'all, these transcription services, it's like $60 a month. Yeah, you heard me. A month. And they charge per year sometimes. I don't have that money. So if you want to check out our Patreon page, please do. Also, if you want to buy our guest a coffee or buy me a coffee because you love the podcast so much, there's a link in our Instagram bio called Buy Me a Coffee. You can send a coffee, and if you buy one for the next guest, I will let them know who you are if you put your name in the little note section, and it'll be a lovely little gift to them. I really hope you enjoy this episode of I'll Drink to That. It is still 4:04 a.m. I am so tired, but we got this done. We're getting it up there. And I hope you enjoyed. I'll see you next week for the next episode with my best friend. Cal is going to be on. I am so excited. We had so much fun recording this. And I can't wait for you to hear it. Anyway, there you go. That's I'll Drink to That. I still haven't come up with a really good outro. So if anyone has any ideas, let me know. But until then. I'll drink to that. To learn more about the Broadway Vlogs, head to our website at www.thebroadwayvlogs.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at The Broadway Vlogs, and make sure you check us out on YouTube. Subscribe, like, send us a comment at The Broadway Vlogs. Make sure you give us 5 stars, give us a lovely rating. I love reading reviews, so let us know. And if you want to follow me, Claire, your host, you can find me at claire.mcconnell on Instagram. Thanks for listening.